by the way. The technology is not my friend sometimes, but I thought of that song and that rendition. I know it was hard to hear, but it's a little bit different artist. If you can maybe look it up another time, that particular artist, Jordan Welch, I think is her name. Beautiful. It's a beautiful variation of that song. So, ladies, when Norma asked me back in, I think it was October, oh, would you like to be one of our speakers? And I thought, oh, well, that would be great. I had been a speaker at Wings, my gosh, when my kids were tiny. Like, I think Karen Urell was one of the facilitator. And I remember it was that beautiful book about the women of the Bible. And I remember that talk because I was given Mary Magdalene. And I was really nervous about that. And once again now, I feel like God has chosen me to pick or to be given lesson 3. Because when I got the book, I remember reading through the first chapter, the second. I was looking through the chapters, and I emailed Norma, and I said, okay, I'll take this particular lesson. She replied, oh, I'm sorry, it's taken. I said, oh, okay, no worries, no problem. I think I had gotten to you too late. And then I said, okay, I looked again, and I thought, okay, there's another chapter. How about this lesson? I'll take, I don't remember which one it was. Oh, honey, it's taken, I went. Oh, I said, okay. And then, honestly, then her email, God bless you, it was, Rebecca, there's only 2 lessons left. It's this 3 and whatever it was, I don't remember. And the 3 was my last choice. It was, no, really, it really was, because I saw it and I said, oh, no. I said, I can't, I don't want to do that one. However, yeah, there's going to be a little PowerPoint. So, again, I find that I decided, I said, you know what, maybe, Norma, I said, maybe I'm not supposed to speak this particular time at Wings. Because this is me coming back after, I think, about a 12-year break when I was teaching school and raising the big kids, as I call them. And so now I'm back, which I love it. I'm so happy to be back. But then I said, okay, you know what? Let me look again. I'm going to reread, and I did. I reread that opening prayer, which is in every chapter. And that song popped into my head. I said, okay, you know what? You are trying, Lord, to, and it says here, again, help us listen with the ears of our hearts. I love that. But I also, it reminded me of the song, open the eyes and the ears of our hearts. That's what it truly spoke to me. And to give me strength and to reveal yourself to me. And I just truly believe that that God has chosen me, called me to do this so that I can open my eyes and the ears of my heart. And then I started to read lesson 3. So we're on slide, there you go. It is the, he is the prophet of judgment and of hope, Jeremiah. And what a friend. Didn't really know a lot about Jeremiah. And now he and I are friends. So, okay, so we can go to next slide, friend. The name Jeremiah means exalted of the Lord in Hebrew. When Jeremiah questioned God, and he said to him, I'm too young to proclaim your message. And God reminded him that he was formed in his mother's womb and to not be afraid, for he would give Jeremiah the words that needed to be delivered to the people. Well, I'm not young, I know that. I also was thinking, okay, this is a hard message to deliver, but I know with God I can do hard things, and this is where I'm at today. So Jeremiah is also remembered as the weeping prophet. Number 4, yeah. God sent Jeremiah to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, and to build and to plant. Jeremiah 1, verse 10. His life was marked by sorrow, his words by urgency, and his message by an unshakable truth. Jeremiah spoke not only to his generation, but to every generation that would follow. In Lamentations 2, verse 11, Jeremiah's words were, "My eyes failed from weeping. I am in torment within. His grief mirrored the heart of God, a sorrow for a wayward people on the brink of judgment." To be honest, ladies, when I first, read through lesson 3, it actually scared me because of the words of Jeremiah's most famous sermon to the Israelites from long ago. Slide 6. Okay, it's not gonna project one at a time? Okay, so my PowerPoint is meant to have transitions, so it's gonna look really bad because you're not supposed to see all those words at once, unfortunately. But if you look at the words that are up there, God sent Jeremiah to warn the people of Judah to abandon their sinful ways. Look at all those words: pride, injustice, idolatry, oppression, moral failure, greed. And if there were cell phones at that time and there were spectators clicking pictures of the injustices of, you can't see the year, but it's 587 BC, these are some of the images you might have seen at the time of the injustice and the moral failure going on at the time. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, 15, in 586 BC, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord and reform your ways. Do not trust in deceptive ways." And it seems, though, what I took from this is that this could have been God prophesying to us today in 2026. And that would be the next slide. So in 2026, again, you shouldn't be seeing all these words, but what you would see first are the pictures of what we have seen taken from people and different places in our world, not just the United States. And yet, though, it seems, hold on one second, if Jeremiah were speaking to us inside of a church today, it might sound like this. "Hear the words of the Lord, all of you of fill in a country, who enter these gates," in our times, "who enter the churches of the world to worship God. Only if you thoroughly reform your ways of how you are treating your neighbors, the aliens, the orphans, the widows, and no longer shed innocent blood on the streets of this nation and in this world, only then will God continue to allow you to dwell in this place. Do not put your trust in deceptive words of greedy, immoral leaders." And as you continue to read the warning of God's words in the temple sermon, God seems to have literally had it with his chosen people. And then he says, "Because you did not listen, you chose to steal, murder, commit adultery, perjury, I will cast you out of my sight." So the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC is more than a historical tragedy. It's a spiritual reckoning. He warned of judgment, pleaded for repentance, and promised restoration to a nation that often refused to listen. Kind of sounds like us today, doesn't it? And again, I think because I'm a teacher, I kind of took this more of like a theological study, like a class. So it really resonated with me that here the Israelites were relying on the royal covenant theory that he referred to in the book. And basically, that royal covenant theology, was that the people believed their temple would never be destroyed or fall to an enemy. But Jeremiah's prophecy smashed that philosophy. But even as he announced the fall of Jerusalem, Jeremiah insisted that God had remained faithful, God had not abandoned his people, rather, Israel had abandoned God. So why is this book, you can go up a little bit, honey, to the contemporary relevance. So this book, again, I loved how in the chapters that the author gives contemporary relevance of what it means to us today. It's a wonderful, you know, some might agree with it, some don't. I did agree with it. That it's, and this, the one I'm referring to, the relevance is on page 45 in this chapter, if you want to look back later. But I think this chapter perfectly states how we need to identify and act as believers of Christ. Our God expects moral action from us. A believer must accept all that God has revealed to live as God requires. We can rightfully feel satisfaction when we are worshiping God regularly, thanking God for all that we receive. But praise and thanks do not fully express the terms of the covenant God has made with us. Our God expects moral action, especially towards the vulnerable among us. Nor can our care only be limited to one issue or one class of people. Pretty powerful words. Our responsibilities extend to the young, the old, the poor, the privileged, to our neighbors and our enemies. We are called to advocate for children, child education, prison reform, the unborn, the environment, our families, but also the families of the world, whether they be what you think they should look like or what they might not seem to you to matter. All families matter in this world. Okay, so Jeremiah tells us that living only part of this covenant is not enough. Adhering to only some of God's expectations is not only incomplete, but the fall of Jerusalem testifies that it can be fatal. So Jeremiah's words remind us that God's call to return to him is as urgent as it is now, as it was then. And like the Israelites who were exiled to Babylon, we too might feel a loss of hope and faith and hope in humanity. And therefore, the question that was posed on page 43, it spoke to me, and it says, what do you do when your hope has been taken away? Okay, so it's difficult to have faith and hope in the face, when we're faced with situations in our lives that uproot and tear us down, when we feel like our circumstances have destroyed our lives. I have experienced three dark times in my life journey where I just couldn't see the light and I had no hope. And like the Israelites, I doubted God. Yes, I would pray. I would ask God to help me through my struggles. I would even question, why me? Why is this happening to me? But here's the problem. I didn't place my whole trust in God, in his will in my life. And my faith was being tested, and I was listening to all the lies of my wounds that were speaking to me. I allowed pride, anger, resentment, and fear to take control. And that's exactly what the devil, or as one priest that I listened to speak one time, he called the devil the accuser. And I'd never heard the devil referred to as the accuser, but that's what he does. He wants to accuse us of everything that he wants us to doubt, right? I had had God in my life since birth. I went to church all the time. I went to Catholic schools. We went to high school. I was a Eucharistic minister. I know the extraordinary minister of the Eucharist. I was a Catholic school teacher. I taught First Communion. I volunteered all the time at all types of churches. But my relationship with God then was not what it is now. So although Jeremiah is the prophet of doom, sorry, it's a little dark, but it's going to lighten up right now. He was also the messenger of hope. Is this one here, friend? No, it's not here. This is the old one. This is not my new one. Oh, wrong. Okay, so Jeremiah is the messenger of hope. And so I love the verse in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. It's the beautiful verse that says, "See, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant, and I will be your God, and they shall be my people." Our God is a God who forgives and desires a new relationship with each of us. The new relationship that God calls us to needs to be based on a kind of faith and hope that Jeremiah describes as, quote, "only possible when God makes us new in a radical way." Not the easy way, not the way we want, but in a radical way. And we are asked to believe in a God who will change us, who will change our hearts, if we open the ears of our hearts and listen to who he is calling us to be. I know that God started to change my heart in 2015 when I was teaching second grade at St. Juliana, and a good friend of mine had children attending the school there, and she had mentioned to me about a silent retreat that she and a few other St. Juliana parishioners had been attending for quite some time annually. They would go to the Sacred Heart Retreat House in Alhambra with the beautiful Carmelite sisters. And do you remember the beautiful sister that spoke to us? I think it was November, Sister Regina Marie. She's the Carmelite, so she is one of the beautiful sisters that lives at the retreat house in Alhambra, and it's just the most peaceful place you can imagine. So this friend, and you'll see this again, you can go back now to the Sacred Heart Retreat House. So, yeah, okay, so this, again, you weren't supposed to see them all at once, but there they are. You can make it bigger, yeah. So that is the beautiful logo. Then you see the beautiful sisters. As you drive through the property, you see the beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus just welcoming you to the property. The chapel is just amazing, and so you'll see some of the beautiful sisters there. I have actually just become such great friends with, and my family too. They're very dear to us. So again, this friend kept asking me, Rebecca, you want to go to that retreat? I was like, oh, that sounds really good. I hope you have a great time. I'm wonderful. Just enjoy, right? I'd gone to lots of other retreats with my husband, my own, myself, day retreats, you know, things as a teacher. But anyone who knows me, and you can tell from my voice, I'm not the silent type, right? I'm not the quiet type. It's quite hard to be quiet. So I thought, yeah, I can't do that. There's no way I would be able to be quiet for a whole weekend, no talking. I said, I don't know, I can't do that. But she kept asking me, and I finally said, okay, you know what? I will go. And one of the reasons I thought, okay, what can it hurt? Quite honestly, I had teenagers at the time. I'm like, ooh, a weekend away from them, I love you. And I didn't have to cook dinner, I didn't have to do anything at home. I thought, why not? This will be a great weekend, right? So I went, and that retreat 10 years ago, it literally changed my life. It literally did. Jeremiah's words are a testament to his announcement that God will find a way to make a relationship viable. And that very first silent retreat with the beautiful Carmelite sisters, and you'll see some of them up here, that he wrote on my heart that my faith and hope are who I am at my core, and that I am a forgiven, beloved daughter of the King. He wants us to no longer resist or refuse a relationship with him, yet he will never force his love on us. And at that first retreat, I felt an inner peace that I had never felt before. Seeds of hope and a renewed faith had been planted. And yes, that very first retreat, many, many tears watered those seeds. That weekend, and through the kindness and the gracious love of the Carmelite sisters, I felt God's mercy on me. And honestly, Nina, my good friend here, she knows that at the end of that retreat, when you have Mass on Sunday morning, afternoon, or the time to go, you know, it's like, oh, okay, get your stuff and leave. I literally spoke to
Sister Juliana, who is, let's see, middle picture. She's right here with my husband. Me and my Victor and I, we attended a game night. So fun. We had won it at an auction, and we got to play games, board games with the sisters. It was the best thing ever. But that Sister Juliana that you see in between Victor and I, she is the sweetest lady. And so she at the time was the retreat directress. And I remember literally being afraid. I said, I don't want to leave. I cannot leave. And I had been silent. I really did a good job. I was silent the whole weekend.
And quite honestly, I didn't want to go back out into that world and talk. I didn't want to be with it. I was scared. I was truly afraid because I didn't want to lose that inner calm and that peace that I was feeling. And I didn't want to lose that.
And that beautiful sister, Sister Juliana, she told me, she just gave me encouraging words like Jeremiah's words of hope, that I would be okay, and that all I needed to do was keep Christ in the center of my heart, of my daily life, and remember that it's God's will be done and not mine. And I needed to trust him and surrender daily to him, all my worries and my fears. So
this will be my 11th year of attending many silent retreats.
Days of prayer there, which I'm going to be at one next Ash Wednesday. They have a beautiful day of prayer all day.
I've done many fundraisers. I've been on their auxiliary board for just a representative. I'm the retreat captain for this church, for St. Martin de Porres.
Oh my goodness, I can. And Santa Teresita is another location that is an assisted living facility, actually. My mom already said, if I have to go somewhere, I'm going there. So it's out there in Duarte. And it's just, those are just all my seeds of hope have flourished within
myself and what is, I again now refer to it like the Carmelites, as an interior garden of faith, trust, forgiveness, perseverance, courage, and love. And so here
on the slide, the next slide, and again, I've been learning a lot about the beautiful Carmelites, who I love, that for Carmelites, their internal garden is referred to as Carmel, and that's the Hebrew word for enclosed garden. So this metaphorical garden is rooted in the writings of St. Teresa of Avila.
Guess what? I got to be born on her feast day. She's truly my girl. And so her writings, which are called The Interior Castle,
it's how you can prepare your soul for your life's journey.
So like any garden, my interior garden, still has weeds. It still has thorns. They're still present today. And that's part of my journey, is to trust in God and to get strength from my faith to get through life, right? God never said that we would not experience sufferings and challenges in our life, and that we have to remember that Jesus suffered first. In Jeremiah's message of hope, he encourages us to, in our trials, to find the courage to take the next constructive step. There is no way around failures and difficult situations. It's just best to embrace them. And one of my favorite verses in the book of Jeremiah is chapter 29, verse 11.
This one's here, honey. Should be. There it is. Verse 11.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
He wants us to no one
except God knows what the future holds.
And in the last part of lesson 3, the focus shifts to the perspectives of the apocalyptic writers, who spoke of fantastical images, natural, supernatural ideas, and some dire messages about a, quote, new creation and the coming of the Lord.
And again, to be honest with you, I'd already processed, and it was a pretty deep, heavy chapter. Then I got to the apocalyptic writers. It was really, really difficult for me to wrap my head around that part of the chapter, just to be honest. And so I do agree, though, with the idea that our vision of God is too small, and that it is not up to us to say what God can and cannot do. God is God, and Rebecca, fill in your name, you are not. I will continue to live by faith and have trust in God, that God is always with me, and that the Blessed Mother is covering me with her love, and that my guardian angel is protecting me and cheering me on to live the way that God requires of me.
And as we profess our faith several times during the sacred Mass, let's
remember these two phrases: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and I believe in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So I am so grateful that God chose me to meet Jeremiah, and that I could echo his message of having faith and hope in the God of the world to come. And let's see if this
might not work. I hope it works.
But I have one more song to share with you that I, before again, I was chosen to do lesson 3. This song, I listened to a lot of Mandisa. Do you know that? She's a Christian artist named Mandisa. She sings, Good Morning. She's a great artist, but she sings this beautiful song that I know will, if you really listen to the words and the images here, it will speak to the ears of our hearts as we pray for more peace and love in this broken world. It's called We All Bleed the Same.
We All Bleed.
Yeah, bleed. B-L-E-E-D. The Same.
I hope it works, because I will not sing. I will. That gift I didn't get.
Maybe it will. And so what, regarding, when you see the video, okay, friends. Thank you. Yeah, okay, thank you. The name of the artist, her name is Mandisa. She actually just passed away last year. Really sad. She's a very young artist. M as in Mandisa. M-A-N-D-I-S-A. Mandisa. She just goes by one name. But what I'm going to be giving all of you for your groups, if you'd like to take one, purple hearts, just like the video. So I love that idea that what a heart represents. The beautiful prayer that Linda said about love, and it's Valentine's Day week. It's just a great reminder that just to have love in our hearts, right? And so, friends, just this last part, like Norma said in the intro, that I've started the Faith and Fitness Ministry here at St. Martin de Porres, oh my gosh, 2019, and then COVID hit.
And then God just basically said, okay, I'm stopping everything. This is me, and I'm making a statement. So we had to stop. We had to stop Faith and Fitness for a good 2 years. But then we started it up again. And I've done lots of different types of classes. We did one that was dancing. We did one that was stretching. But the one that I love the most and that we do now here at St. Martin de Porres and commercial, on February 24th, I'm going to start it at St. Joseph's Parish as well in Placentia. So Deacon Scherg and Claudia Mercado have been instrumental to help me form a Faith and Fitness ministry at St. Joseph's. So I'm so happy about that. But Soul Core, my friends, is what I do here. This is what it includes, the mind, the body, and the soul. And it is in no way tied to the practice of yoga or any other Sanskrit tradition, practice. It's nothing like yoga. And a lot of people ask me that. And the founders of this beautiful postulate have spoken extensively on EWTN. They've spoken on different types of podcasts about it is not yoga because we invoke only the Holy Spirit in our beautiful prayer circle. And we do not invite or welcome any other types of spirits. And all we do are we pray our Catholic prayers, and we use our bodies that God gave us to celebrate who we are and accept our bodies the way they are, and that we're, you know, that we're temples of, that it's a temple that God has given to us. So we want to honor our bodies. So in Soul Core, that's what we do. And I think, I know that that's one of the seeds that was planted in my heart as I've grown in my faith. As a fitness instructor, I love teaching, you know, I'm encouraging everybody to use their bodies just the way they are. But then when this element of faith and Catholic prayers came in and I was introduced to this, I thought, this can't get any better. And so, quite honestly, it is the best thing. So many of you beautiful ladies have taken Soul Core here at St. Martin's, and I appreciate your support. And what I'd like to do as we end, I'm not going to do the whole rosary because that is over an hour. We don't have time. So we usually pray the rosary in our Monday class. It's the morning class that we do seated. We stand. We use weights are optional. And it's a wonderful way to work our balance, our flexibility. You can strengthen your muscles and also have some words from the Bible to meditate on. So it's a spiritual and it's a physical workout. So what I'd like to do, we only have a few more minutes. Do I still, like, maybe a few more minutes, Norma? A few more?
Yes.
It's okay? Okay, so what I'd like to do, my friends, this morning, is to celebrate today. February 11th is such an amazing day in our church. It's the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes, and this is a fun fact. Victor and I were married in Our Lady of Lourdes in Oakland, California. Is that wild? So I thought, okay, that's wonderful. And we were married on the feast day of Zelie and Louis Martin in July. And so those are St. Therese of Lisieux's parents. That's Zelie and Louis Martin. But so today is also the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes. And she was, you know, she appeared to a peasant girl, Bernadette. And we asked her to reach out with her tender love to help heal our bodies and our souls. And also today, my friends, is the anniversary of the death of Our Lady, Mother Luisita, she's venerable Mother Luisita, who is the foundress of the Carmelite Sisters of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in Los Angeles. So today's her anniversary of her passing. She did flee from Mexico during the persecution of Catholics in Mexico in 1921, and incidentally, she and a few of the other sisters, when they came here, Bishop Fulton Sheen, correct? He welcomed her and the other sisters that had, you know, risked their lives, and they came to Holy Innocence Church in Long Beach. That's where they first landed, and look at what had happened to Holy Innocence. But so there's, you know, God's blessings upon us. And then finally, today in the church, it sets aside today, February 11th, as a special day of prayer for the sick, such an acute need in our 21st century world. Okay, so what I'd like to do, you can get a little sample of what Soul Core is. It's not going to be exactly the same because we don't have our rosary in the middle. We are not set up in a circle, but I invite anybody 18 and over You could come and join SoulCore. Yeah, we can't have littles. I'm sorry. No babies are allowed because you want the silence. You're basically staying silent the entire time we're in SoulCore. And it's amazing. It's beautiful. So what I'd like to do is just a few things to bless our bodies in honor of Our Lady of Lourdes. And today, like I said, is designated as a special day of prayer for the sick. So if you would like to just join me here, if you take everything off your lap, you could just sit still. We are close together. In SoulCore, we have a lot more room between each other so that you can actually use your body a little bit more. But we're not going to do too much. We're not standing today. But I invite you here then to what we want to do here is thank God for our bodies that he's given us. And like our Blessed Mother Mary, who said yes to having Jesus be born through her body, we have also been blessed to be both physical and spiritual mothers and fathers to our children and our families. And so again, friends, as a participant in SoulCore, you're silent the entire time. And so what that gives you, it is an opportunity to listen to the messages that the message God wants you to hear during our time of praying together. And you're welcome to just sit. You can do the motions. Weights are always optional. We're not going to do weights today. But our motions, again, we're using our bodies to honor God. Okay, so again here, I invite you to just sit comfortably in your chair. Does the music play? Or it won't play. Here. Okay. I have an old phone. Just gonna put on. And so what we do is we have a little bit of music. Thank you, friend. I don't know how loud it is. And so just if you feel comfortable to close your eyes and just be present here. Let's go ahead here, and I want to read a little excerpt really quickly from the Catechism of the Catholic Church to help focus our minds on the beauty of our bodies. In the citation of Catechism 364, it says that the human body shares in the dignity of the image of God. That unity of soul and body is so profound that one must consider the soul to be the form of the body. The human body is not two natures united, but rather a union that forms one single nature. So I invite you to start with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, we come before you today to ask your blessing over our bodies. We ask you to send the Holy Spirit to fill us with your presence in mind, body, and soul. We take a moment in the silence of our hearts to offer prayers of gratitude and pray for those who need our prayers, suffering with illnesses, physical or mental illnesses, and we pray for people who have no one to pray for them that are suffering. We put all of our prayers and our intentions in the hands of our Blessed Mother as her title of Our Lady of Light, that we may be filled with your light, Lord, so that we can reflect it out to all those in our world around us. So again, here's where we start using our bodies. I usually am sitting with you, but obviously I'm gonna stand. You can roll. Here's what we're gonna do. We wanna just relax everything. We're gonna just take our shoulders and we're gonna roll them up high by our ears. And just relax as you take your shoulders back down. Push them down. Again, inhale. Take a nice deep breath up. Roll your shoulders up. A little tension. And roll the shoulders back down. So what that does is just helps us realign our posture. Sitting nice and tall. Don't tuck your chin. And we're going to go ahead and start by asking God to bless. Lord, bless our breath. So I want you again, sit still. I'm going to have you inhale through your nose for about a four count. Inhale deeply. Inhale, love. Hold that breath for a few moments, and then exhale through your mouth. Exhale any anger or unforgiveness that you might be feeling. Again, deep breath in. Inhale, peace for four. Hold for a moment and exhale any unforgiveness you might be feeling. Feeling your body relaxing. Your eyes, your hands, any tensions be released. Inhale one more time. Inhale, silence. And then go ahead and exhale the noise of this world. In Psalm 15, verse 6, we hear, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Lord, we ask you to bless the breath that we breathe. We ask you to give us the grace to be grateful for each breath that we take and how it sustains life within us. So as we sit here in the silence, we want to just again feel that calm within our bodies. We're going to ask God, the Lord, to bless our minds. So what I invite you to do here is take your right ear to your right shoulder, very, very lightly, no tension, and very slowly roll your chin towards your chest and take your left ear to the left shoulder, very slowly. We don't roll back. Just keep that very slow rolling motion going. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, scripture says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to discern God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Lord, we ask you to renew our minds so that we may be able to discern your will more easily in our lives. And now just come back to the center, bring your chin to your chest, and then just kind of carefully just bring your head back up to neutral. And then what I invite you to do here is, I know you have your eyes closed, but you can do this with, you know, keeping your eyes closed, just kind of move your eyes back and forth very slowly. If you want to open your eyes, you can look side to side. We're going to ask the Lord to bless our eyes. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 22, we hear the words, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light." Lord, we ask you to bring health in our eyes. We'll pray for our sister in Wings that's having that surgery as well. Bring health to our eyes, to our physical sight, but also, Lord, that you give us the grace to see through the eyes of faith. Lord, we ask you to bless our hearts. If you want to place one hand on your heart, you can place another hand on your belly, feeling your breath as you breathe. In Psalm 51, verse 10, we hear the plea, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Lord, we ask you for the grace of a pure heart within us. We know in the Beatitudes that you promise, "Blessed are the pure of heart, that they shall see God." May we have pure hearts that we may see more clearly how you are at work in our lives and those around us. And so, friends, as we, again, that we would be definitely, I would have you go into many more parts of our body, our ears, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our whole body. But that was all I wanted to share with you as far as blessing of our bodies. And come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill our intellect, our will, our memory, our understanding, our intuition, our inspiration, our entire being. May we decrease and may you increase. May you destroy any plans or thoughts that we have today that are not of the Father's will. Lord Jesus, this coming Lent, when we bring our gifts to the altar, let us wrap them in love, mercy, and forgiveness. Then we can be sure we are bringing gifts that will delight your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you, everyone. You're welcome. Yeah, thank you. Oh, well, SoulCorps, it's in the bulletin under Faith and Fitness. And usually we do Mondays after the 8 o'clock Mass, which we start at 9:15. But because there's some holidays, like this coming week, Monday, it goes to a Tuesday, which this Tuesday will be the 17th. In the St. Elizabeth room in the classrooms. And you just come dressed, you need to wear tennis shoes or closed-toed shoes. If you want to bring weights, I have some. And it's a seated version, and it's very, very gentle. We're not doing planks or push-ups or running. It's nothing like that. It's nothing like that at all. So everyone's welcome to come, and there's an email if you want to send me any questions in the bulletin, and then I'll reply to you. Thank you.
Oh, and then the little hearts.